Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things. I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional licensed counselors who are going to talk to you about things that we don't know.
Yep, we use humor to deal with all the disturbing things in this world. Humor and perhaps a splash of wine.
Perhaps, just a splash.
This is our podcast. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to partake in a splash of wine right now.
Wonderful. Thank you. So this week has been very busy for me. So I'm going to, again, let you check in first because I think that'll loosen up the concrete in my brain.
Okay. And if anybody hears a weird sound in the background, that is my aging pit bull, Lusa, who is neurotically licking her wrists because that's what she does. I put up the extra barrier tonight and she still broke through and made her way upstairs, which she's not allowed to do. She's a fall risk, so she's supposed to stay downstairs.
She doesn't listen. She's a rebel, like her mom.
She's a pit bull.
Yep.
So I think the coolest thing I've done in the last week is I went to see Eva Schloss speak at the convention center downtown. She's a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, I saw that. Okay. How was it? Good?
It was so good. Yeah, she was like sassy and spunky and she was a really good speaker. And she just ended with a super positive message about how we just all need to stop hating on each other for differences, like religious differences, racial differences, that, you know, we just need to be more compassionate and kind to everybody.
Well, that sounds great.
I bought the book. It was autographed, where she is going to go into more detail, you know. But her mother married Anne Frank's dad.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So she knew Anne Frank, you know, when they were little girls, mm-hmm. before they were, you know, sent away to the concentration camps.
Oh, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So where did she travel from?
She lives in England now.
Okay. Pretty far.
Yeah. And she came over to speak and the place was packed. I was so impressed by that. You know, for Spokane, you just don't know what's going to get people out of their houses. We're not really a culturally diverse town.
It's very
true.
That's something I've noticed, like, back when I was in bands for a long time. I don't know if your boyfriend has noticed that, but, like, you get, like, your few people, your core. But it's not like Seattle or Portland where you get these big show of people.
No, yeah.
Same thing with restaurants. It seems like cool things come up, but then they die slowly.
Yeah, it's certain things that like really kick ass and thrive, but there's restaurants, like certain locations, I almost feel like they're bad luck locations. I'll mm-hmm. just say it's a new restaurant all the time. And I always think
it rotates through.
Yeah, like I would never open a restaurant in a place like that. I just wouldn't, because I would just feel like it had bad juju, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think, too, a lot of it are these newer people that move in to Spokane. They see the, like, oh, it's expanding, it's growing, but it is a different kind of people here, too, I think. I don't know. There's some more trendy folks who like to go do things.
But there's a lot of people that don't.
Yeah, they're still, like, the retirement community part of Spokane.
Did you see the new bar that opened down the street in the old coffee shop?
No.
There's literally, it's so tiny, there's 5 seats in there.
Ooh, that makes it super cool.
Well, that's what I had thought. I mean, they're new. We checked it out last Wednesday, Paul and I. You know, I had a lot of constructive feedback for them that I told Paul. I didn't tell them. I think that there's a lot of potential there. But
is it really constructive if you don't tell the person?
Well, I don't know them. Restaurant? And it probably would have just sounded like a bunch of complaining and judging and bitching.
So really it was complaining, judging, and bitching, not necessarily.
But there were some really good ideas within that.
Okay.
You just have to pick them out.
So you're saying you were right?
I'm always right. 95% of the time. I am wrong sometimes, and I will own that. I hate it. I don't like it.
But you don't you don't like being right?
No, I don't like being wrong. Oh, okay. The 5%.
Yeah, okay. I went to Longhorn Barbecue a couple nights ago.
This is the best check-in you've ever done.
It was really bad.
Oh, it was bad?
It was really bad because there was a buffet bar and we went at like 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, I'm going to do the buffet. It's a bad idea in general. The ribs were like jerky. Like, I couldn't, I was tearing at it.
Because is it all you can eat?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you just got to be wary of any all-you-can-eat situation in general. It's not going to be the top quality food.
So I had like the most expensive, like $22 mac and cheese. That was really all I ended up having from there. That wasn't hard. And then so the other meal didn't even get to the table until 35 minutes after I finished my buffet. And then we just left. It was bad.
I haven't been to a Longhorn in like 20 years, but I remember there was something magical, some kind of like honey butter that they give you for the bread. Is that still a thing?
There's no bread.
Okay.
Honey butter. Are you talking about the Roadhouse?
I thought it was Longhorn and they put it on like cornbread, like some kind of honey butter. Am I just like imagining this?
I don't know. It sounds delicious, far greater than my meal.
Mandela effect or perhaps a dream.
Perhaps.
Or a hallucination.
Hate it when those
story
happen.
Of my life. that's my main check-in. I did have another weird thing, unless you want to go.
Tell me your weird thing.
No, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna just say that I'm waiting for my father to either become a North Dakota truck driver again.
Ooh.
or run away with some Texan millionaire to continue ventures in his latest business line. Like, that's,
it could be either
or neither will pan out and he'll live in my basement. That's option C.
I think all three of those options sound really fun.
They all sound really fun except for the amount of dogs that would be in my house. I have to, Sammy's gotta go.
Will you ease up on Sammy?
Sammy has gotta
go. Jesus Christ, Macy.
Every night. So I borrowed my dad's
dog human being.
I'm taking over your check-in. I borrowed my dad's carpet cleaner. It's one of the really good ones. I forget what it's called.
A rainbow vac?
Excuse me?
You don't know what a rainbow vac is?
No.
Oh, it's like the best vacuum cleaner of all time.
Oh. I had no idea. No, it's definitely not a rainbow vac. It's something else that now I'm confused about. Anyways, it did a really good job of getting all the urine out, but I have to give it back to my dad.
Are you going to give it back empty of urine or with the
urine?
I
have to empty it every time. That's really cute that you think it wouldn't fill up. But
I don't know how this urine extraction works.
Every time I extract the urine, I have to dump the bin into my toilet and try to keep it from splashing all over my toilet seat. This is my life.
I love it.
Waking up to the smell of dog poop in the middle of the night is quite the, like, my brain knows something's wrong.
I love how you explain it so visually that I feel like I'm there.
You should be, because when I'm laying in bed and like dreaming sweet dreams and I open my eyes because I'm like, what is that? And then my brain goes, no. And I look next to me, and there's a big pile of poo right next to my bedside.
Have you ever stepped in it, like with your bare feet?
Ever. Many times.
Not the worst.
I've got it between my toes before. And I had to go instantly wash my feet in the bathtub.
I've done that in the backyard. It's super gross.
I step in pee on the daily in the morning and have to go wash my feet. It's disgusting.
I think they need like nursing homes for dogs, but like nice ones.
I don't even need it to be.
Because we've covered, you know, be nice to your elders and like how shitty a lot of nursing homes are.
She wasn't nice to me when she was a young dog.
There needs to be like a nice like paradise for dogs to spend their sunset years. You know, like one of those gated communities.
That's my dad's property. He has property.
He should set that up where they can like mingle with other senior dogs.
He has a puppy right now, so he's having a really hard time convincing himself to take another dog that can't urinate not in the house.
You guys have a lot of urine problems in your life.
It's constant.
Oh goodness.
Yes. Her tumor is getting rather large too.
Oh my god, Macy. Take
it's
care
like
a, of that.
It's like a baseball. What do you mean take care of it? What am I supposed
it's
to
supposed
do?
It's supposed to be removed, I think.
Put it in a sack? Like use one of the diapers just to hold it up to relieve the weight.
I believe it's a medical procedure that like medical people
she is
do.
Too old. To have, she is 17 years old. She would not. Maybe I should take her.
Yeah, see? And then you could be like, hey, I tried.
She passed away peacefully during the surgery. I see it now. It's great.
I'm glad you have a vision for evil with an nice excuse. Do you want to hear my little weird thing? I know you do. Okay, so this was last week sometime. I think it was Wednesday night. I woke up in the morning and, you know, how you look at your phone. Mm-hmm. And so Paul's like, I don't understand that cryptic message you sent. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? And I look, and I don't see anything. And, you know, it's just weird. And then I get a text from Dave, my ex. He's like, what's with all the texts? And I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? And I look at our text thread. There's nothing again. And then I see, you know how you can see all your texts mm-hmm. at once? I see that like there was something my mom was telling me in the middle of the night, and I wasn't texting her in the middle of the night. And hers was like, oh, okay, so it'll be $6,000 total. I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on? So then, you know, Dave and Paul send me these screenshots, and it's like somebody was texting from my number to them. And I had a total fucking panic attack. So I'm like, oh God, how many people in my contact lists were being texted in the middle of the night from my number? This weird, it was like some kind of medical hospital scenario. So it was the same person texting everybody, but like wires were crossed. So I immediately contacted, you know, my phone service person. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, we've heard reports of that from other people. I'm like, well, this needs to be fixed. Like, this not okay. Like, what if like my boss got a text in the middle of the night, or I have clients' numbers in my phone? Like, this is fucking bad. So
no,
I was like,
no.
Yeah. Full panic mode. And, but before I realized like what was happening, I honest to God had a moment of, do I have DID? Do I have like dissociative identity disorder?
Is it you?
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the book we read, the window one, right? Where she was getting, was she texting? No, there's pictures of her.
Yes.
Remember that? And yeah. It ended up being, I won't ruin it, but yes. Okay.
Yeah. I honestly got at a moment of, did I turn into another person in the middle of the night and was like texting people? Because that's fucking terrifying.
It's pretty scary. Yeah.
Yeah, but it just turned up to be a phone provider fuck up. So thank goodness. Phew.
Wonderful.
It wasn't me.
That's so great.
Yeah. It's so great when it isn't you.
So great.
But there was a little while where I had to defend myself. I mean, Paul was just like, no, you texted me. Like, this is what you said. I'm like, no, I didn't.
Because he thinks you've lost it, finally.
Well, it's coming from, I mean, it's like in our texting thread. Mm-hmm. That's what's so fucking weird and scary about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lady weird. I talked to on the phone said it was spoofing.
Oh.
I'm like, well, it seems more serious than that, lady. Spoofing. So figure it out.
Did they?
It hasn't happened again, so hopefully.
They probably just didn't do anything and it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and they're just waiting to see if I call back again.
That's the more likely scenario.
I think you're so right, Macy. You get to go first, I think.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm not done checking in, but.
Oh, did you come up with some more stuff?
I did. All my pets have a cold right now. Guess why?
You have pet problems.
I do. Well, so my furnace has been broken and trying to fix that. So I'm using a little heater in the bedroom and the rest of the house is cold. And so I have a fireplace, a wood fireplace that I'd normally be lighting fires in, but because of your podcast topic, I've been avoiding lighting fires. Now all my animals have gotten sick and I've gotten cold, so now I'm lighting fires again. I got over it because they look so sad.
It's okay. Gone through. This is proof vicarious trauma exists. It's not a myth. DSM-5 creating motherfuckers, get on board.
Oh yeah, so I'm dealing with that, those consequences now. And yeah, so there's that. And then I fly to Chico, California tomorrow morning, early in the morning. And it was right after really exciting news today that we had somebody quit. And right during their lunch break, they didn't come back.
That is so irresponsible.
They had clients scheduled. They're not a counselor, but still a provider. And yeah, so irresponsible. I can't. I just can't.
So you've had a shit day.
It was a pretty bad day, yeah.
I really appreciate you showing up for the podcast.
I almost canceled.
I'm glad you didn't. Because I was looking for it all day.
I know. I was like, if I don't do it, then I'm going to have to like hear her complain about me not doing it next time.
What about our people? Think of them.
Yeah, you know, it's really lovely.
Our people in every state except...
We don't have anyone online right now. It feels wonderful.
What's the state that we don't have?
Illinois.
I thought you said a different name earlier.
Dang it.
And so we might...
I did. Vermont.
Vermont, Alaska, and Hawaii. Get on board.
Illinois and Vermont are different. And very far apart.
So we are live casting, but apparently nobody cares. So
it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
I've tried to make it like a thing starting today where I'm not going to look at it because it causes me extreme anxiety, the whole podcast.
And I don't want that for you. Don't look.
It stresses me out.
Don't look. Let them do their thing.
I'm not. But so it's just for me, it's paranoia about making sure that it's still recording. And then I get wrapped in.
Well, just look at that and then look away. Eye contact. Look at me.
Okay, so another thing I wanted to check in. Have you ever had a client like stop seeing you just out of the blue? Never like said anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I spent a year thinking that this specific client didn't like how I worked with her son. Like specific, but
you were blaming yourself.
Yeah, for like a year. And then I'm like, you know, okay, I guess, whatever. And then I just got an email today and they were reaching back out for a therapist and she specifically stated that she liked the work that I did with her son. I was like, oh, it's like a year's worth of like validation that I needed.
Well, I mean, part of my counselor disclosure is I tell them that you can end this relationship at any time without notice.
Too, yeah.
So I think they really take that to heart. Like, I just don't have to go back. I don't have to say anything.
It's kind of more of a professional courtesy on our part of being like, hey, stuff happens. I'm not going to like sue you or anything. Counselors have feelings too. Just saying.
We do.
So those are my biggest check-ins that I had.
All right.
And I was going to ask you kind of another little, it's not really an ethical thing.
Ooh, an ethical dilemma, as they say.
So sometimes in this podcast, we talk about counselor-related-y things, psychology-related-y things.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that this is us acting as therapists in this role that we're doing right now?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I'd say no. Would you say that we're still bound to the ethics that we follow in our like profession?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't, because we're not in a professional relationship with anybody.
So when does that happen though?
When you're in a professional relationship?
Yeah.
Like when they sign that informed consent, that's when it starts.
So when you start formally engaging with them?
Yes. It's almost like a contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That, you know, I mean, this is all fucking shits and giggles, folks. This is not professional advice. This is for entertainment purposes only. Why are you showing me 30 behind-the-scenes facts about Dr. Phil?
Because Dr. Phil, I have learned so much about Dr. Phil today.
Is this your topic?
It is.
Fuck yeah.
How's
that working for you?
I absolutely hate that statement. First of all, almost as much as I really hate this man. And
I'm so glad I said it right off the bat. I like it when you're angry. I like your passion.
Your passion.
Your fire.
So I hated him to begin with, and I hate him more now after the research.
Is it the stash?
That doesn't do me any favors. I don't know. What do you know about Dr. Phil, our TV legend, daytime epic?
You know, I don't watch his show because I don't have TV.
Psychologist role model.
Well, I would not say he's my role model, but sometimes I watch, you know, YouTube clips of, you know, especially dramatic episodes.
Dramatic episodes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few, you know, that my kids have been like, oh, have you seen this? And I'll watch it, you know.
So here,
I'm not like a fan.
In the last, so annually, he averages around $70 million.
Didn't Oprah get him started?
Isn't he
an Oprah creation?
Yeah, he is an Oprah creation. So he's the 15th highest earning celebrity in the entire world.
15th?
15th.
You're fucking kidding me.
No. Isn't that gross?
Who's number one?
I don't. Don't ask me questions I'm not prepared to answer.
Beyonce?
Probably. Maybe.
Oh,
Kanye?
Maybe Oprah.
Oh, yeah. Oprah, for sure.
It's probably Oprah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
In God, I hope it's not Kanye.
I heard him talk earlier about something, Kanye, and I just remember like just like talk. Being puzzled and confused. Like,
are you
a real human?
Like, I'm confused by
what
the whole
are you talking
thing.
About?
I do think he has some catchy songs, though. I have a few on my playlist.
I have none. I probably couldn't even call them out to you. So he went on the Oprah Winfrey show in 1990. And they met in 1996 when she was dealing with cattlemen who claimed she defamed the beef industry on her
show.
Oh,
my God. I fucking remember that. It was a huge scandal.
She hired Dr. Phil to assist and counsel her.
No, that was a huge scandal because she was attacked that she'd ruined people's livelihood because she was basically coming down on the beef industry.
Cattle companies, yeah. So he had this lifelong goal of becoming a psychologist. That was like his dream and vision in life. And he lived in North Texas.
It's beautiful.
It is. In 1968, he was awarded a football scholarship to the University of Tulsa. He was a middle linebacker.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So he is a real doctor. However, that's in 1979.
Like a medical doctor?
No, PhD in clinical psychology.
Okay.
Yeah, in 1979. So he is retired. So he spent, let's see here, it was in 2000. So there's 15 years of where he kept his license active but didn't practice as a psychologist and then retired his license after that. So there was this incident of where he was apparently borrowing lines from Thelma Box, who is a Texas businesswoman who presented Pathways seminars that he attended as a like entrepreneurial businessman. And he started integrating those things into his own speeches, and he never gave credit to her at all for the phrases and things that he said.
So that's plagiarism.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and it
I
was.
Mean, I don't know if it's still called plagiarism if it's spoken and not written, but.
He actually wrote, there's statements in his books too
that
are from her. And she spoke out later on saying that she was pretty surprised that he didn't give her credit for those things.
That's probably a really nice way of saying fucking pissed.
Yeah. Fuck you.
I was surprised.
Yeah. 15th most richest star. Can't give me credit.
Motherfucker. I had no idea he was that rich.
I know. So then he decided to sign an agreement for the sale of his Pathway seminar stock for $325,000. He didn't notify his father, who was involved in it, or or Box, the woman, of the impending sale. So he just kind of sold it without notifying anybody. So he had his first controversy. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, Phil. Tell me more.
In 1988, the Texas State Board of Examiners of Psychologists determined that McGraw had hired a former patient for part-time temporary employment and cited, quote, a possible failure to provide proper separation between termination of therapy and the initiation of employment.
Oh, that's a huge ethical dilemma.
Huge no-no. So that's where maybe those lines get crossed a little bit of what do you do here versus over there? And the board issued a letter of reprimand and imposed administrative penalties. Yeah, he had to take ethics classes.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then they gave him, like, they suspended him for a short period. The board also investigated claims made by the patient of inappropriate contact initiated by McGraw. And this article doesn't say the age, but I found it in another one. Per the other source, is a 19-year-old.
Hold the phone. Are we talking about inappropriate sexual contact?
So there was no findings of fact that it was physical contact of any kind. And the board closed the complaint file in June 1990. So there was nothing followed up after that point about it.
I want to know more.
I know.
I really like your earrings, by the way. I just noticed them.
Thank you.
Are they leaves?
Yes, they're leaves.
Ooh, pretty.
See, and so they have this because I have gauged ears.
So it's like a little gaugey, pretty.
Yeah, and leaves. It has the dangly, because for years I've never been able to wear like dangly earrings.
I don't think I've, honest to God, ever seen you wearing dangly earrings.
It's not often.
So now they're making combo gauge dangles.
Gauge dangles. I like it. Gauge dangles. All right. So before he was TV's number one psychologist, he was a trial consultant. So he worked in a courtroom, co-founded a courtroom sciences, Inc. So it's CSI, but not the fun CSI, boring CSI. And that really gave him a boost money-wise. So it was 2006 when he retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fairly recent.
And he hadn't practiced for 15 years prior to that.
Okay. So out of practice.
For a while. And I'm sorry. I have worked with people who have weren't practicing for a while and then reinstate their license. And they are so out of date in knowledge about lots of things.
You got to stay abreast of those things.
Yeah, modalities are different. I'm sorry, sir, but Freud ain't here no more.
Modalities and, laws.
Oh, yeah, laws are huge.
We have our WACs and our RCWs.
Yeah, state laws.
Yeah, that stuff's constantly changing. You got to stay on top of that shit.
Along with your ethical practices, sir. And so in 2008, McGraw said that he made it very clear that his current work does not involve the practice of psychology. The California Board of Psychology determined in 2002 that he did not require a license because his show involved, quote, entertainment rather than psychology.
Mm.
So in my mind, what has always bothered me watching Dr. Phil is people come to him for help, and he often elicits them with money of kind, or I'll send you to an expensive treatment center, and he's an authority figure. They know he's doctor. He's using his title doctor, and it seems very unethical.
You know what has always bothered me is I think he exploits the fuck out of people.
He publicly shames them
for
too.
Ratings.
Yeah, publicly shaming
people. They seek out.
It's the opposite of do no harm.
Like dramatic or shocking situations, but I mean these are people's lives and they're exposing themselves on national television, and then they put the YouTube clips up, and I mean if you read those comments, it's just attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's cruel, and and this is probably why they're well, this isn't therapy because it doesn't involve any modality. If you just look at the surface level of, yes, obviously it's not therapy because he wouldn't be doing a good job at all.
I mean, even if you say he's not doing a good job, I do think it looks like therapy, though.
It does. It's one of those things where we're expecting the public to be knowledgeable and informed about something that they're not specifically knowledgeable about.
So are you saying he's practicing without a license?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fuck. Expose.
And if I were his supervisor, I'd have quite a lot to say about what he's doing. And I wouldn't even let him be in front of a client until I could see him do some fishbowl exercises successfully, because I doubt this man's ability.
Yeah, and it looks like therapy. I think people come to him for help. I mean, some may come to him, for the fame aspect of being on TV.
Yeah, but it's not entertainment. They're not going there oh, yes, this is fun for me.
Right.
No, this is my life.
I would love
shambles.
Love to see the contracts they sign, what they're agreeing to.
Right.
Because it looks like therapy that's being filmed for the public. That's what it looks like to me.
I'm reaching out to help you. Let me help you. Listen to me. And he's very directive, and he tells people what to do, which is not what counselors do. And I, okay, if you don't want to tie it to psychology, then don't use your clout. Don't use, I am Dr. Phil, here to help people. No, you are Phil. Here to hurt people publicly and shame them and make money off of them.
Filthy Phil.
So it's very frustrating.
I'm mad.
He has 3 best-selling books on relationships.
Is he in a successful relationship?
He wasn't for a while. I'll hit on that one in a minute. And then he is now, and he has 2 sons from that. He has a weight loss business. Or 2003, was when he started a weight loss business selling shakes, energy bars, supplements.
What?
They carried the brand name Shape It Up. Woo woo.
I would never fucking buy that or eat that or support that in any way. And I would shame anybody who I saw eating those products.
So it came under swift criticism. They ended up taking them.
He doesn't even look like he's in good shape.
No. So it all got pulled off the market in 2004. Oh, so it wasn't even there for 1 year. Yeah. Got pulled off. And actually they had to...
Failure, Phil.
There was a class action lawsuit against him in 2005 claiming that the $120 per month supplements did not actually stimulate weight loss.
What the fuck? That is so expensive.
He settled for $10.5 million.
Well, that's probably like chump change to him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And then he ended up doing a biography at one point. Where he interviewed his childhood friends, former classmates. The book reports that McGraw allegedly used unethical business practices in a gym business in his early career, and that he was allegedly abusive towards his first wife. And yet he has relationship books. Do you know, it makes sense to me that somebody like that would make relationships books, like they need to feel like in power and control and like what they're doing is right.
Ooh, good point.
You know, it's like that power trip mode.
Mm-hmm, like I'm the expert.
Yeah, I'm the expert. I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, fucking narcissistic.
So understandably, the book received no promotional help from McGraw or his associates. So it's a biography out there not endorsed by him. So he then keeps making more money, still working on Dr. Phil. And he was making at that point $15 million a year.
Whoa.
2000.
I can't even imagine. Like, I just can't even wrap my brain around what that much money, like to make that much money. Like, what does that look like in your bank account balance?
Mm-hmm.
When you pull it up on your phone, you know? What does that look
Where
like?
Where did those zeros go?
Yeah.
I'm excited if there's just a couple.
I'm excited if I have money in there.
I'm like, oh.
I usually check it when I'm in line at the grocery store. I'm just like, I want to make sure I'm not going to have a really embarrassing moment here.
So there's even more legal woes.
You don't say.
I do say. So McGraw was named as a co-defendant along with CBS Television in a 2006 lawsuit filed in relation to a disappearance of Natalie Holloway. The lawsuit was filed in Deepak Kalpo and his brother Sadish Kalpo, who were two of the last people seen with Natalie. They alleged the show's portrayal of them using hidden camera footage edited in an allegedly misleading way was defamation.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big unsolved mystery case. Was it ever solved?
I didn't see anything in here about it.
Okay, all that noise is Lucy got up and she's walking around.
Yes. So another place that I was doing research said that there was also allegations made by other people who were on his show for when he was doing the recovery portion of his show. So one person who is a recovering addict was put in the room and there was a bottle of vodka in there and he drank all of it and went on stage and had like a super high blood alcohol level on the show.
What?
And
in their green room, they had fucking vodka for somebody with
substance use disorder? Lifted and sat in the chair for his interview.
And they still went through with it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And then later on another, a woman had said that she was given and again, this is somebody who's there for substance use, was given a Xanax, one of those, to help her nerves.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But just these, like, what are you, again, these people think you're helping them and that you're an expert.
Well, I don't know if helping people is the number one priority, I think.
But do the people know that?
No. That's why I want to see what they're signing.
It's like there
away.
Are people who are diehard Dr. Phil fans, and I'm like, why? But
it's 100% because of all the scandalous shit. Mm-hmm. I think because there's drama. There's shocking stuff.
His response was that people in those situations will try to find a way to blame the people who are trying to help them.
But is he trying to help them?
Which is pretty victim-blaming Dr. Phil.
Is he trying to make more moolah? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now I feel like I don't even want to watch any of his scandals. YouTube clips.
So.
Because that supports his pocketbook.
In 2008, he visited Britney Spears. In her hospital room. Was that when she was
going through a hard time?
Yes. Attempting to get Spears to take part in an intervention on the Dr. Phil TV show. The visit and his subsequent commentary drew criticism from mental health professionals. And her family spokeswoman, Lou Taylor, said, "This is another example of a trust and being betrayed. Rather than helping the family situation, this celebrity psychologist is causing additional damage."
Fuck yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for Britney during that.
That was rough. Because, like, she was having a serious mental health issue.
It just sucks. And can you imagine, like, all the terrible shit we've been through if we were, like, on the public stage going through that?
Ugh.
Like, that time I was so depressed I wasn't wearing pants.
Yeah, and you were under the desk at work.
That was, yes, that was that same year. Like, can you,
and I had to call you and I was, are you okay?
Like, to have that, like, splashed all over the cover of the National Enquirer.
Yeah, no privacy.
And I feel sorry for
you. Have Dr. Phil knocking on your door, like, let's make you more public with this.
No, I'd fucking awful. Punch him in the cojones.
His net worth is $400 million.
I don't think that's right. Does he do any charitable work?
He does. He does some. Yes. He has a foundation for kids who are, raises funds for childhood obesity. And that foundation was founded in 2003. And other organizations that address emotional, spiritual, and monetary needs of children and families.
Because I just think after a certain point, you just don't need any more money.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, do tell, Macy.
On April 13, 2008, a producer for the Dr. Phil show secured $30,000 bail for a ringleader of a group of 8 teenage girls who viciously beat another girl and videotaped the attack. They planned to put the tape and the girl on the show and have an entire show devoted to the incident. And then, however, the news broke that they had paid and posted bail for this teen. And they had to cancel their plans.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's too involved.
Yeah. Like, you're going to
bail out. Because now you're a part of it.
You're going to bail out the person who victimized the other person. Don't you think that maybe they're in there for safety reasons, perhaps, Dr. Phil?
So it's 100% about the ratings and not about
100%.
What's the well-being of the guests?
And there's more. His first wife, who was an ex-cheerleader and homecoming queen named Debbie Higgins, married for 20, he was 20 years old in 1970. And according to her, he was domineering. And this is why it makes me, like, the relationship book thing feels gross to me. According to her, he was domineering and wouldn't allow her to participate in family business. She claimed she was confined to domestic duties, which included lifting weights to improve her figure.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah. Fuck you, Dr. Phil. Fuck you. I'd
shove those weights up his ass.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so he's pretty gross, and he is a private pilot as well. He has his own plane. And yeah, I think that's about it.
He does.
Yeah. He's remarried now with Robin McGraw. And she said, "People just can't understand when we say we don't fight."
Does he just shut it down?
I don't know. That's all she
says. Or she's just, like, basking in the millions and doesn't want to rock the boat.
I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to find somebody who just is okay with doing those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't be.
No.
Not me.
Anyway, so that's my behind the scenes of Dr. Phil, the man I didn't like to begin with, and now I don't like even more.
Fucking Phil.
He's the worst. Not my role model.
No, he's not my role model. Now I'm not even going to watch the YouTube vids.
Nah.
He's taken one of my pleasures away.
Well, it's kind of like Jerry Springer. Is it Jerry Springer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, watching those, it's like, oh, someone's going to get hit.
Oh, yeah. The shoes come off. The earrings come off. Shit's going down.
Someone's
going
to throw a baby. It's going to happen.
I was used to love watching, like, the paternity test reveals. Like, the guys would either just fucking celebrate or just cry. Like, you never knew, like, what the reaction was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, thank God it's not mine. Or, oh, no, it's not mine. You just never knew.
Their reaction, or when they're, like, just being horribly mean, and they're like, that's not my baby. It's not my baby. And
doesn't
then it's,
even look like me.
And it's like, oh, it is my baby. Oh, love you. Okay. All right. Well, anyways.
Well, cool. So I wanted to do something a little bit lighter, because my last two topics.
Yeah, you've been dark lately.
My last two topics were so sad.
Yeah, because most of our stuff is fairly dark, but your last stuff has been like I can't really laugh during those things. It's been hard.
No, and I traumatized both of us.
So. I know, I can't light fires now. My pets have colds.
But so, I really, like, those were things that really deeply disturbed me. And so I did want to talk about them since that is the name of our podcast, but I'm going to lighten it up a little this time. So this is a topic. So this is like two topics. There's like the surface topic, but then there's the deeper topic. Mm. That would be the deeper disturbing thing.
I hate it when it goes deep.
This is going to go deep. So my surface topic is flat earthers. And then my deeper topic is how the internet is influencing our knowledge and culture, which is something I have been probably for the last 5 years concerned with and interested in. And I just don't understand why more people aren't talking about this. Maybe that will change tonight.
Trendsetter.
So guess.
We have four people online right now. We can change the world.
Change the world. It only takes one, really. Change begins with you. That's what Gandhi said. So where do you think people get most of their knowledge from these days?
Internet.
But where specifically?
Google.
YouTube. Well,
YouTube.
Which is owned by Google. So you're partially right.
Mm-hmm.
But I was horrified by that fact that most people, if they want to find out something, they go to YouTube. That is their primary source of knowledge. And I'm the same way.
You literally just talked about how you looked up Dr. Phil videos.
Well, my battery died in my car a couple days ago at work. And I was like, what do you hook where? I didn't want to like blow up people's cars. And I went to YouTube. How do you like jumpstart a battery? Like, what do you hook to where?
I heard a medical provider say that they looked up a YouTube video for a procedure they didn't know.
That's fucking terrifying.
Isn't it?
It is.
Isn't it?
So YouTube is people's primary source of knowledge these days, which is fucking mind-blowing to me. So, all right, back to the flat earther thing. So all around the world, there are conspiracy theorists who believe the earth is flat. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not.
Okay. But this group is growing, like growing exponentially. And flat earthers say YouTube was key in helping them spread their message. And one researcher found that of attendees at a recent flat earth conference, nearly every one of them said they first came to the idea through YouTube. Like, that's how they were introduced to it. And then they became believers. So this whole flat earth thing, it's been around, you know, forever. But then the idea of a spherical earth that appeared in Greek philosophy with good old Pythagoras. Remember the Pythagorean
mm-hmm.
theorem?
Mm-hmm.
Woo-woo. And, you know, by about 330 BCE, Aristotle provided evidence for the spherical shape of the earth on science. It was scientific science. Reasons. Yeah. So modern flat earthers were kind of kicked off by this famous or infamous experiment called the Bedford Level Experiment. And so this was this dude named Samuel, and I'm just going to pronounce this last name Rowbottom, but I don't know if that's how you really say it.
I'm sure that's right.
So he did this. So old Rowbottom. I didn't
like this wine earlier, but I'm liking it now.
I'm so happy. I find that with wine. Sometimes you don't like it at first, and then it gets way better.
It does.
Go wine.
And Rowbottom.
Rowbottom. So there's this river called the Bedford River in the United Kingdom, and it's 6 miles long, and it's, like, unique because it's perfectly straight and, like not, like, rapid. It's, like, what they call inert. So it's pretty flat water. So it's this
still?
Yes.
Okay.
Still inert, like, 6 miles. So in 1838, he put up this experiment to see if the earth was flat around. And so he, like, stood there in the river with his telescope and watched his friend sail away in a small boat that had, like, a flag on it. And he watched this for 6 miles, and then he reported that he could see this in constant view with no change in height for the whole 6 miles. Whereas if the water surface had been curved, you know, to match the shape of the earth, then the top of the mast should have been 11 feet below his line of sight by 6 miles away. But instead, he could perfectly see it. So that was one of his experiments. He did another one. But both, according to him, concluded that there is no curvature of the earth, and the earth is flat. And so he published this observation using the pseudonym Parallax in 1849, which I think is pretty edgy for 1849.
Parallax. Yeah, that could be like a YouTube sensation right there.
Yeah, or like, you know, an EDM band or something.
Ooh, Parallax.
Parallax. I would like go see Parallax at a rave or whatnot.
Or whatnot. Have you been to a rave before?
No, because I was never really into the ecstasy scene. Yeah,
me neither.
Ecstasy and raves, they're, like, together, linked.
They're together. They're one thing.
Yeah. I never did that. So there's a website, if people want to learn more about this, that I was looking at today, that called metabunk.org, and they have phenomenally, scientifically, and incredibly detailedly talked about the proper way to recreate the Bedford-level experiment to actually show one way or the other, and that it would be definitive. So I totally recommend going on there and taking a look at that. So let's dive into the flat earth theory, what it's all about.
Do tell. But first, tell me, are you trying to convince me that the world is flat? Are you a believer now?
No, I'm not.
Why aren't you? Do you have scientific proof to counter?
Well, we'll get into that. So, flat earthers believe the Earth's land masses lie totally flat, like a disc. Like, the Earth is like...
like a pancake.
Like a fucking Lazy Susan or something.
That's a very antiquated term as well, by the way.
Not in Chinese restaurants. Lazy Susans are raging in Chinese restaurants right now.
Right now.
They are. So, here's some points to their theory. Where is the edge, you might ask? What keeps people from falling off? Here's the answer.
Let me guess. Okay. When you spin the Lazy Susan, that force keeps you pulling in towards the center.
No, no, no.
Which way does it go? Clockwise or counterclockwise?
No, it doesn't spin. Get rid of the Lazy Susan thing. That misled you. It's just a disc. It doesn't spin. It hangs out.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you think keeps people from falling off the edge? Like, if you're in a boat and you're, like, sailing away?
You know, maybe perhaps it was made with a lip on the end.
Ooh, yes.
So then you could just, like, tink, so and then bounce back.
Yes, good. So the lip is made out of ice walls.
Whoa, I was right?
Yes.
That's how I know this is wrong. So if I can guess it.
So flat earthers believe... Antarctica surrounds the Earth and keeps the water from flowing off. So it's like a rim of ice.
So how does, like, temperature around the world have anything to do with the ice walls, or does it? Or is it just always
an ice
wall?
You know, that was a whole different, like segue on climate and stuff that I chose to not get into just okay. because I didn't have a year to research this.
You know, Lazy Susan. Oh, it's more like a microwave plate where they have the little edge.
But it
on
doesn't spin.
Side.
But yes.
Yeah, why can't it spin?
It's one
though?
Of those like shitty old microwaves that don't spin.
That's the broken one. It's yeah. the one where you forget you like you broke the bottom and forgot to put the little roller wheels back in there.
Yes, like it's slightly off track.
And all your food only heats
and
on
it
one
goes
side.
Bunk, bunk, yeah. bunk every time it goes around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
got it.
The seasons, you might ask.
I might.
What causes those?
What does?
The sun spins around the earth.
Mm.
So this is going back to like
the sun being the center of the earth.
Copernicus
right?
wait, times. The earth, yeah, yeah, when yeah, yeah. when that was the old model of the solar system. So this is kind of going back to that. The seasons change when the sun is closer or farther away from the earth. Also, gravity is a hoax. The tides, the tides are connected to a magnet in the center of the Earth, not gravity.
But wait, is the center of the disk?
The disk. Yes, okay. There's a magnet there.
How deep is this disk?
Mm-hmm, good questions. I don't know.
I need to know.
So all the artist depictions, it's kind of. I mean, if you do know what a Lazy Susan looks like, it's kind of that thickness.
Wait, are there people on the bottom of said disc?
Like, no, everything's
on top.
Do you
dig through and there's China on the other side?
See, and these are for, if I would have had more time to research, I really wanted to know what was on the other side too. I didn't find that in my research, but I, you know, didn't spend, I probably only spent about 6 hours researching this. So here's an artist.
Like the moldy underside of
depiction
our existence.
Of what this looks like. See the ice ring around the edge and yes. the sun and moon are rotating kind of around each other.
Okay.
Because they had to explain eclipses and shit. And how that makes like day go around.
Okay.
Like that.
This literally looks like a child's art project for elementary school.
And you notice the giant Shutterstock logo.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can post that.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, I won't. All right, so you might say, well, what about all the photographs that show a fucking spherical Earth? Well,
liars.
Flat Earthers don't lend much credibility to photographic evidence because it is too easily manipulated and altered.
At least it's a real photo of the Earth looking, at least. What you just showed me looked like a child's art project.
Yes, and I'm going to get into that in a second here. But I do want to pause and say that I enjoy a good conspiracy theory.
You've brought up a lot on this podcast.
I don't enjoy like fucking stupid ones.
I always pause and I'm like, how much of her slightly like really wonders about this?
No, I do. I like the ones where there's just enough like realism to make you pause and think like,
perhaps.
Perhaps. Maybe so. I mean, but there's dumb ones where instantly like, no, like the lizard people thing. Like, there's no part of my brain that thinks that that is possible at all. But this, like, I've seen photographs be manipulated and altered. So right mm-hmm. there, I'm like, well, I've never been out in space. So am mm-hmm. I just putting too much trust?
You're trying not to take authority viewpoints on this perspective either. Yeah.
You know, I have an open mind about things. So that's the part where I'm like, I can see.
Are you easily hypnotized as well?
I've never tried to be
hypnotized. I bet you would be. You seem easily suggestible.
Why are you judging me so harshly right now?
Deep breath.
So NASA, you know, you might be like, well, you know, listen to NASA, they'll tell us what's what, but they don't believe anything NASA says or does. They think NASA is a liar face. So they've tried to find their own evidence, but they just haven't been able to get high up enough.
With their evidence. They just, you know, don't have
Well, they
enough.
Want to see for themselves, and God love them, they've tried.
They don't have their own rockets?
Well, last year, 2018, a quote, self-taught rocket scientist, unquote, named Mike Hughes, launched himself 1,875 feet in the fucking air so he could prove the Earth is flat. Can you imagine?
That's not outer space, first of all.
Well, and, no, he was trying.
And going back to self-made, clearly.
But that's, I don't want to fall from that height. And he did. He fell from that height.
Did he die?
No, he didn't die. But I saw the footage of him being like ambulanced away, you know.
Sorry. It's not funny.
And, you know, he said he believes the Earth is flat, but he just wanted to know for sure. And
did,
like,
it look flat or curved from his thousand?
He didn't get high up enough. You have to get high up. That's not high up enough. You got to, like, be able to see the whole thing. And it's, I mean, I just imagine he was in too much of a panic.
How did he? What did he do? Was it one of those, like, self-made little rocket things or
booster pack? Yeah, he put himself, inside, like, a rocket thing.
Oh, that sounds very dangerous.
It does. And kids, we don't recommend you boost yourself into space in a homemade rocket.
Or adults. Yeah, we know you're the worst.
Or adults with kid-like minds that would try this.
Which is anybody listening to us right now.
I do, like, appreciate his, you know, chutzpah, which is a Jewish term. Yiddish, actually.
Chutzpah.
All right, so the flatearthsociety.org, I did spend a brief amount of time on their website because it wasn't very fun. I couldn't even access the store, which is always my favorite part of these websites. I wanted to see what was available, but it was all like coming soon or not functioning.
They need like a marketing person.
Well, they had a store.
Liven it up.
But it just wasn't working for me. Yeah, so they do need a website overhaul. So if someone out there does web design, maybe reach out and give them a hand.
Yeah.
But they have a shit ton of members now. And their society was almost completely dead, but it was resurrected in 2004 when what happened? What happened in 2004 in the internet land, Macy? Facebook started.
Oh, okay. Don't put shortly, me on the spot like that.
Shortly followed by, like, all the other fucking things.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Twitters and the all that.
I think I graduated high school.
So we can probably pinpoint 2004 to the start of a lot of bad shit.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's an NBA player named Kyrie Irving, and he made statements that the Earth is flat. He said, quote, "Can you openly admit that you know the Earth is constitutionally round?"
Yes.
Like, you know that for sure? Like, I don't know, end quote.
So are these, like, agnostic round Earth, like, flat earthers? Because to claim that you don't know is not a stance that you do know something else. That just is a lack of knowing.
He got a lot of shit, though.
Oh, okay.
And there was at least one or two other basketball-related people, and then some other celebs that, like, Shaq said the same thing, and then some other non-basketball celebs that were kind of, like, saying that they were maybe sort of at least...
It blows my mind. It's like the people...
Curious, like, about Flat Earth.
Scientology folks who, like, they're celebrity-level Scientologists, are just like, what? Like... I don't even think I can, like, watch you as a human being on TV knowing what you believe is true.
Scientology is on my list for a future topic, by the way.
You have a giant list. You can't claim all of
them. I've been checking
it
off. I've been checking the list off, but Scientology is on there.
You better cross off the things that randomly come up in my mind an hour before I come here.
Well, if we ever come to do the same topic on the same night, it's going to be amazing.
We're going to duel for who has the best info.
Or we could collab.
No. Duel for the best info.
Well, we'll have the people judge who provided the best factuals. So, poor Kyrie Irving. I kind of felt bad. He got a lot of shit by, like, basically everybody. Mm. And then he came out and apologized, and he said he blamed it on a YouTube rabbit hole.
Mm.
So we're coming back to that YouTube. So, like I mentioned earlier, there's been research that most people at these Flat Earth conventions say they had no interest in the Flat Earth movement until watching videos on YouTube. So, when YouTube heard that, they said that they were going to try to bury these videos to make it harder to find, They didn't
necessarily agree with that, but I mean, it's spreading misinformation potentially.
I don't agree with it at all.
Yeah.
But they said that they were going to make it more difficult for conspiracy theories to reach large numbers of people. So, excuse me, I decided to check this out for myself. I put, is the earth flat in YouTube's search engine? And they have buried things, but it's not impossible to find. So about 100 vids down my scroll, I started finding stuff that was like supporting flat earth stuff. And then really like 150 videos in, you can really find them. And I did some research in how does YouTube create their algorithms of what you see, because you have like your homepage, it has like your recommended videos, it has your subscribed, and then it has stuff that comes up. So
they knows me so well.
They're supposed to, yeah, like create this depending on your own personal interests. So I decided to experiment. I subscribed to a couple channels, like flat earth channels, to see if when I went on my homepage, would they just show up? And they're starting to now, which is really interesting.
Are you worried now that like your viewing list is just going to be like tainted forever?
No, my viewing list is like my Spotify playlist. It's like a sculpture that I'm always just kind of honing in, deleting and adding until it's like this perfect
sounds really mix gross. I don't know.
Of what I want.
I have to say, like, I don't necessarily disagree with them burying it, so to speak, because again, you just said that YouTube is the number one source of information, and if people are using that as knowledge and factual information, then they should be providing or at least being able to screen and notify what is conspiracy theory. What does that mean? I do think they should have a better filtering for what does, when we're weeding things out or over, what does that mean? Like, you know, has at least 1,200 research articles in the field supported by scientists.
But I think that's people's individual responsibility to like be able to sort that out.
But not everybody does. And a lot of people don't. It influences how they vote. It influences how they interact with people.
Well, and that's like the deeper level of this disturbing topic is no, I absolutely think that the internet and whoever does these algorithms is controlling our knowledge and our culture. Like, it's controlling where we are as a society, what we like get jazzed up about, what we get lit up about, what we never even hear about.
Did you just say lit up about?
Yeah.
That was cute.
It's deeply concerning to me. So I was able to like put in specific things that I heard about in other places, and those will pull up. So it's not blocked. You just have to know, you have to specifically put in all the exact words. So I heard about this guy, Mark Sargent, that has this series on YouTube. And so when I specifically put up that, it did come up. And he's a dude that's like put together all these like, this is the proof videos. So remember we talked about Logan Paul? Remember he did the videos from the Aoki Gahara's forest?
Yeah.
And he got a lot of shit from that.
Yeah.
He's involved in this
YouTuber.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, he's involved in this too. So he did this whole documentary where he like infiltrated Flat Earther society and acted like he was one of them. And it was just, he was just fucking with everybody, but he like really earned their trust and like then came out and was like, no, I don't believe this. But he made them all think that he believed
he
it
involved,
and he was doing
yeah.
this real documentary. So yeah, he's coming up yet again. So I just, yeah, my biggest concern about this is how what we are exposed to.
It's kind of some Black Mirror stuff here.
At all. Mm-hmm. Comes from who controls these search engines. Like, it's pretty terrifying.
Well, it's just kind of like with like Facebook and them allowing certain kinds of ads or things like that that is now being looked at as needing regulation of some kind or at least a slap on the wrist. It's just hard to regulate.
It is hard to regulate.
Because then there's the flip side of does the internet, should the internet be free and open source without hands in the bucket, because the more hands in the bucket becomes more leaning one way or the other.
See, I want all the knowledge and I want to be able to decide myself. I don't want somebody filtering it for me. Like, if I Google, is the earth flat? I want it all to come up. Yes, no. Like, let me fucking decide. Don't bury certain things that you think are right or wrong 150 videos in, you know. Nobody has the wrist strength for that scrolling.
Yeah, but I have to say, though, like, that isn't, like, this new scientific theory that's come up, and there's, like, opposing ideas, and yes, I want to figure that out. This is something that has been pretty squashed for a long time, and I don't want to have to waste my time reading through a bunch of garbage just to get to the thing that I need for real-life thought. Whoa, Lusa, that was the saddest dog noise.
That was really sad. I thought she was throwing up, but she's just like making weird zombie sounds.
Doggy nightmares.
We say that again because I had a really important thought that Lusa...
It's gone.
Lusa interrupted.
No.
Oh, I came back. So I guess, like, I'm thinking of this in a broader, like, it's not just about this flat earth thing.
Yeah.
I have studied science and history enough to know there's been a lot of times where people were 100% sure of what they thought was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to not be the case when knowledge developed. And, you know, I just don't think we should be so sure of what we know that we tamp down things we think are not true. Like, I think we need to let the existence of things be there just for the pursuit of knowledge overall.
But to me, that goes back to knowing what the, you know, what is that algorithm? What are they assessing it by? Because to me, I have no problem with things being stamped down that have no merit. And to me, I would need to know what does no merit mean to Google, to YouTube, to whatever, for me as a researcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's things that shouldn't be on YouTube for sure, like certain like violence things.
Yeah.
Or that kind of thing. But like I don't care if flat earth videos come up.
Be on there. I mean, there's weirder things on there.
But they're not, because now they're saying they're going to bury conspiracy theory related stuff. But some of those conspiracy theories have been found to be fucking true. They have. There's a lot, you know, especially government related stuff has turned out to actually be true. So I just don't think we need to be so quick to judge and categorize.
Bury it.
And this is something that bothers me and disturbs me. So that's why I brought it up.
That was a good one.
Thank you for listening. You and everybody.
Me and everybody else. So I was going to try something based on a recommendation from last week, which was at the end. And if nobody takes us up on it, that's totally fine. But actually opening it up, if anybody had questions for us directly that they want to ask into the chat, that came up during the podcast, the topics. And
I think you're opening up a can of worms, so we might want to keep closed.
I don't know. Like, if it doesn't go well, I can ignore it.
Yeah, I think we should ignore it. I think if they have questions, they should ask on like our Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, if you have any questions, though, you can send it in the room right now as we're working on signing off, and we'll answer your questions.
All right. I have a good sign off today.
All right. Wait. Okay. What's your sign off?
What's yours? Until next time.
I'm going to wear my leisure pants more.
Wait. You already have leisure pants? Leisure pants?
Oh, actually, I had a pair of leisure pants. This is a side note. And I sat down at a weird angle. I'll just say that. And totally ripped a hole in them. From one leg to the other. So I need to buy new leisure pants.
No, don't. Because I actually got you some leisure pants as a present. And I thought at our next podcast.
You bought me leisure pants.
Yeah, they haven't arrived in the mail. But I was thinking by our next podcast, we could both wear leisure pants while we podcast. And then take a picture afterwards.
Deal. We're coming in full PJs next time. We have a question.
Oh, fuck.
Will the Seahawks win?
I don't fucking know. I don't have time to watch 3-hour football games anymore.
I feel like if I say no, I will have a better reaction than if I say yes and they lose.
I used to a long time ago, like, be super into watching football, but I just don't. I don't have TV channels and I just don't have time to sit there for 3 hours and not do anything.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you watch TV.
I don't have channels.
You don't have
everything
channels.
I watch is like
YouTube. You watch
internet,
YouTube.
Like Netflix or yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have like channels. I don't have the hookup.
Yeah. Okay. Well, until next time, I'm excited for Leisure Pan.